when I used to go to India, there used to be these flies. And they were so persistent on landing on you. This wouldn't go away. You could do anything you want, they still come back. And faith is persistent. And Kim has faith like an Indian fly. She does. She kept going on and on. And I was determined, no. I just thought, I'd just keep saying no. But the point is, like, this holiday, like the first week we got, I didn't even pay for that. Like, Kim arranged that with Liam. And the same with the second one. All I'd done was put the deposit down.
And how much was that?
£100.
£100.
So I was saying no. Like, you know, I'm stewarding God's money. I'm being a good steward. I know I can't be stingy, but steward. You know what I mean? And I didn't really feel, for me, I'm very passionate about God. I'm not saying Kim isn't, but I really am. And this is what I do. This is my life. You know, I live for God. I want to help people. I want to serve. I want to be of a service and encouragement to others. I know what it took for me to get where I am now, with God at my side and working in me and help me. When I started off, I was kind of a fearful person, always worried about what people say, worried about life situations, worried about the children, worried about my relationships. The paradigm or the programming of my mind was fear, was poverty, was lack. And so, you know, as we continue to move with God and we understand about this confession is where it's at. It's very, very powerful. And, you know, we've all heard about confession over the years, but it was never taken seriously as it's God's highlighting it now. And, you know, your words will change your world. And your words will shape your world. But it starts with your thoughts. What are you thinking? And it goes back to, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So when we start to receive the words from God, then this builds our faith. And as we keep it in our heart, then, and as we're saying it from our mouth, we're establishing it in our heart also. And then real faith comes. And then not only that, but this confession, what we're saying by repetition, it starts off with repetition to begin to get those things established in your heart. And then the faith really comes when you're speaking. You're not just saying it by repetition, you're saying it from your heart with full of faith. Then everything starts to change. But if you want to change your old man nature, you know, like the old programming, the old man's dead. You know, I have to keep reminding myself that old nature is dead. It's just the leftovers of the program. And so when we start saying what God says, when we say the heavenly words, now we're a spiritual being, now we got the Spirit of God dwelling in us, then we start to change those and get rid of those old habit patterns. So I used to be full of fear. So one of the, there's like a set of scriptures I used to confess, like, okay, for God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Well, that scripture there, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears, is a reality. It's a living reality in my life. I got no fears. And I look to God, and I trust God, and he's taken me through a journey. And he's built my faith. He's working with my faith continually. He's working with your faith continually. And as you realize that, as you're in this, we're in this world, not of it. There's nice things that we can do, but to have your need met within your heart is to be in a relationship with God and settled in your heart, knowing that you're at one with the creators of the heaven and the earth, that you've got Christ in you, the hope of glory, that no matter what goes on, you can go to God. You can give him every burden or situation that comes up. And like I said, we are in this world. We're not of this world. So sometimes we can be touched with the feelings of the infirmities of the world, the things that are going out there. We can get shaken up at times if we put our attention there, if we allow our emotions to get involved. You know, we start with one thought, and it could be a negative thought, a small one, and then we can dwell on that, and it comes to another thought, another person, another situation, something that happened in the past, and everything is in the past is gone. Everything, you can't change the past, it's all gone. But when we think on one negative thing, then we think, oh yeah, and that person done this. Oh yeah, and that group of people done that. And then it takes you all the way back to your childhood when you picked on, and then you start getting very discouraged. So when we look at our physical setup in this life, and when we start to dwell on the negative emotions, and we dwell on it, then we become full of fear, anxiety. We get turned up in our heart, and we don't know why sometimes. Why am I feeling like this, you know? But again, you can change it now, because you can get God's word in your heart and your mouth. You can ask God to give you a word of release. And God is very faithful. And so when we take God seriously and take what he says as real truth, this is the truth, this is the thing that I need to do. And we know in the book of Acts it said that they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. The words that God was working in the apostles at that time on the new day of Pentecost, the believers that were added to the church, they continue steadfastly. They persevered. They received and fed on the words that were being spoken. And they had great joy and rejoicing. They fellowshiped together. You know, Acts 2, 42 to 47 is the recipe to be successful with God as a body of Christ and as individuals. And so, it all depends where your focus is. What do you want? You've got to know what you want to say what you want. God says, say what you want, not what you see. But what is your desire? What do you really want? How much do you want? Like, I want to see God's word moving all of Bristol, the UK, Europe, USA, and other places. My field. I know there's other believers there, but I want my field. Can you see? So for me, my field is the world. For you, your field is the world. And we don't have to limit it to where we are, or my little town. Small beginnings, don't despise. We can start there, we begin. And then God enlarges your vision, because nothing's impossible with God. And in comparison, I was speaking with Sangi in, I think it was Monday, in comparison to the world's population, you know, we look at it and we think, you know, the harvest is plenty, but the labourers are few, right? But really, the labourers are many. But in comparison to the world's population, it looks few. But there's millions of labourers. And God knows where they are. And God can send them to you if you really desire. So what's your desire? Now, when our desire matches God's desire, so he puts the desire in your heart, and when you respond to that desire, then he can go to work for you. And so God really wants us to have great expectation. We have to remember as well, like, okay, so we're born again, we're saved, we got eternal life. But what is that now, our purpose? That old nature, our old life is gone. And now we have a new life in Christ. And what has God designed us for? What is our purpose? We say we need a purpose, right? Well, the purpose is to live unto God, to walk in that living relationship. He's very interested in you putting him first, in you going to him, in you giving your desires to him, in you casting your burdens to him. He wants you personally to depend upon him. And then when we start to do that, and we start saying what God says, and we're speaking forth out of our mouth the desires, Father, I really want to live unto you. Father, I see myself moving with the millions, that you got many ready-made fields, and that people are being raised from the dead, the sick are being healed, the lepers are being cleansed, and great signs, miracles, and wonders are following us because we're believing you and you can do your work. You know, we say these things. We don't say like it's going to become. We say like it's already happening. That's the language of God. God calls it down. He doesn't call it down the road. So when we confess, when you're declaring something, when you're desiring something, speak and act like you got it now. And this is true. Now, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall believe in his heart and doubt not, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And when you pray, whatsoever you desire or call for, when you pray, believe that you receive, then you shall have it. You shall manifest it. So we speak like we've already got it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we don't, the just shall live by faith, not by sight. So it's not what we see with our physical eyes when we desire. We see it here in the mind. And like I was sharing with some believers, the word mind in the Bible has, I think, four different Greek words to it. And so when you look at the word mind, have a look at the Greek word. What is it referring to? So one part of those Greek words, it refers to the understanding, which is also your imagination. And so God's words paint pictures. So when you're speaking, when I'm speaking now, when I say I'm moving the word in all of Bristol, what comes to your mind? In all of the UK, what comes to your mind? In all of Europe, what comes to your mind? What pictures are kind of flashing up? Images or a faint image of something? See, God, that's God working with our faith. Like God had to work with Moses' faith. So he said, throw your stick down. And he threw the stick down and it turned into a snake, right? He could see it. Oh, wow, look at this. Now pick it up by the towel. And it went back to the stick. Put your hand in your coat. Put it out. Oh, it's leprosy. Put it back in. Pull it back out. Now it's real flesh, healthy flesh again. See, there's nothing impossible with God. And all it is, God will give you what to do. And then it's just the willingness, humbleness, and obedience to do it. And sometimes we don't understand, like God might show us to do something, but we don't kind of comprehend, well, why would I do that? But when we just move, then the picture becomes clearer. And then our faith is really built. So like Kim really wanted to go for this second week. You know, and I recognize faith. I know faith, and I know Kim. I thought we'd end up going on there, to be honest with you, because she was really on it.
It was like when I packed the chairs in the booth.
Yeah, like she didn't argue with me. She didn't say, oh, well, you're just miserable, blah, because she can be like that, but she didn't do any of that. I thought, oh, no, she's being too nice. She's being too nice, like, you know. But then when I realised, okay, like, you know, she's got this persistent faith, and all right, I said, as long as I can still do what I do, my passion is God, my passion is helping people, my passion is to really help. And sometimes that passion can be over. I can go over the top of it and bombarding you with stuff. But I just want to encourage people. I want to give. I want to be around people. So for me, I won't miss the fellowship. I won't miss the leaders' meeting. I won't miss the trips to India if it's available for me to go. I won't miss the trips to USA if it's available for me to go. And when we come back from this holiday, we're going to get our passport. So behold, my desire next year as we travel where God opens the doors. And so we're really looking forward to it. And I know God's going to open the doors, you know. So it's like God is doing the work. And sometimes people may not understand you or some of the things that you say. But when God's working something in your heart, you just got to do it, like Kim. You know, she was really pushing. And her faith was there. Like nothing was impossible to her. Nothing. Literally nothing. Not even the prices. God even changed the prices around. And it was quite there on the website. Because you book for an agent, this is the price. And she said, no, that's not the price. And I thought, oh, here we go, it's going to be a lot higher. But it was a lot less. So God knows how to meet everyone's needs so that everyone's blessed. Because he doesn't want us to be selfish, just thinking of ourselves. So like in the family, we could be selfish. Or we can consider each one's needs. And then we have to kind of, there might be something I don't like to do, but I'll do it because I love my wife. Yeah, I know this blesses her. I don't really want to do. There's a lot of things I don't want to do that she wants to do, but I'll do it because I want her to be happy. I want her to be blessed. So how much more does God want us to be blessed? And we was having a nice discussion at the pub when we went for this Sunday lunch, where we took all the women standing strong for a Sunday lunch. We were there. We've been going there regularly. It's quite nice. And we had these discussions, like, you know, God just opens up the conversation, and we're talking about needs, and we're talking about selfishness, how it's easy to be selfish, how that love is, you know, is not about self, it's about serving, it's about letting other people be blessed. So for me, you know I want my wife to be blessed, I want my kids to be blessed, and sometimes we just have to say things to make sure. Like with Leanne, she's very like Kim. She's got great faith, and you know, she'll say, oh Dad, you're always on the phone, like we're on holiday, give it a break. And I said, no. And I said to her before we went, if I go on this holiday, I will be taking my phone calls. I will be running the Zoom fellowship, and I don't want to hear anything about it. And I said, because that's what I do, and that's what I'm blessed to do, and I'm happy to do. I'm there because you want me to be there. I'm not really into holiday. I never have the holidays. So like Kim explained her past, that she had all these family holidays regularly and everything, which is really lovely. I didn't have none of that. So it doesn't really interest me too much. I do like going away, don't get me wrong. But when it gets in the way of what I'm passionate about, for me, God has to be first. And so God's teaching me how to walk in a balance of these things, to bless my wife, to bless others, and to also that I can still be very blessed when I just go to him with my desire and with my needs. Because God says he has supplied all of our need according to his glorious riches, whether that's financial, whether that's in your heart, whether that's in your mind. And so no matter what's going on in your life, God wants you to, you know, really go to him. Because if you put him first, truly, from your heart, and not be distracted with so many things, like God's not looking for Marthas. you know, cumbered by many different things. But he's looking for Marys, the ones that are sat at the Master's feet learning and doing and practicing. And because, see, our greatest calling is to live unto God. Our greatest calling is to be those ambassadors, to reconcile men and women back to God. And if our heart is in a place to do this, then God will bring those laborers to you. He wants to give you the laborers more than you want to have them, but you've got to be ready for them. You've got to be ready to serve. You've got to be ready to give up some time. You know, it's not all about you. You know, if you do the things that God wants you to do, you'll be even more blessed in what you're actually doing. And sometimes we go for second-rate causes, putting them as a first-rate cause. And actually, it's not. Actually, it's not, oh, I'm doing the right. Are you? Is God first in this? Is he really first? And people wonder why they're not seeing anything. So if we really want to see the things, it's got to be all in for God. Like your whole heart into God. And that doesn't mean that we neglect people. If someone in our family's not believing, we don't think, well, they're not believing, so, you know, I'll treat them like this. No, we love people. Our life is to be a witness to them of the love of God. And, you know, that takes walking with God. So when we're doing these confessions, when we're speaking forth the things of God, we're growing in our relationship with God, we're seeing God do things, and our prayer life, you know, our prayer life has to be strong. Not just the speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is really important, right? So really do that. When was the last time you spoke in tongues? If you can't remember, that means you haven't been speaking in tongues. So speak in tongues much. It energizes you. It builds up that inner man, that spirit man in you. God's spirit teaches your spirit, and your spirit teaches your mind. So all these things work together for our good, for our benefit, for our blessing. So God doesn't want you to be distracted. Listen, there's so many people being distracted. You know, I do many different one-on-ones, and you can see from what people are saying, oh, look, there's lots of things being distracted, lots of people unsettled. But what happens to one believer can be happening to others. Now, the determining factor of how is how you respond. If you respond with the carnal mind, then you can stay in your negative situation for a long time. But if you recognize it for what it is, that there is an enemy, he's totally defeated, and he's just trying to get access in there. And we have to refute it. So this week, Monday night, I went to bed, and I had this pain in my back and all across my shoulders going all down my arms. And I've had it before, but it's like I just kind of move around and it's gone. Well, this persisted all through the night, and I'm thinking, oh my God, what's going on? I'm having a heart attack. Like, all the negative thoughts were going on there. And so I brought my mind back, and I thought, no, this is a lie. These are lying symptoms, right? Anyway, woke up the next day, I was really tired, and all of the back of my head, it was like really right in here. And then I was talking to some people, like posture, maybe it's your posture, sitting down all the time. So I'd done a few little exercises. They kind of helped a little bit. Got Danny to minister to me, and it felt a little bit better. And then yesterday it was like again, like really in here. And I went up to Leanne's, and she said, "You're right, Dad." I said, "Yeah, just a little bit of a pain here, like." And it made me feel a little bit not with it, you know. But I knew this was the enemy, and I wasn't giving in to it. She said, "Oh, I got a nice face pack." So she used to get headaches across here when she had a car accident, and she got an ice pack, like it's a face mask, and it's ice. So she said, try that on the back of your neck. So I put it on, and it eased it. And then when I come home last night about 10 o'clock after going up Leanne's, and I got myself a nice beef curry from the Chinese, and I'm sat down eating that. And I said, God, this is really rubbish. I do not accept this. I claim my healing that's been accomplished for me in Christ. By his stripes I was healed. It's a done deal. I claim that. I believe that. And I'm going to have a great night's sleep. And do you know what? I went to bed, 12 o'clock. I fell asleep in my chair, woke up at 12, went straight to bed, woke up, no pain whatsoever, totally back to normal. No, nothing with my neck, nothing with my head, no, nothing. It's a lie. And so sometimes we might, like Millie was saying about her pain in her leg. You know, so the enemy wants to, you know, pee on your parade, you know, on your fire, but you can't put it out. But you just stay with God. Now, God's designed us to go to him and to walk with him by the Spirit. He's also designed the body of Christ. These one-on-ones we do, and I'm sure people like Amber, Becky, and the ones that connect to me, Ethel, Sakina, like she sends her love, she's with her grandchild today, And who else? Somebody else couldn't make it today, and somebody else couldn't make it today. Peter Lloyd sent his love. He was feeling really tired. So he said, I miss it. I said, that's fine. Like, you know, you might, if you wake up, just jump on. So the point is like, you know, my job is to work with whoever's in front of me. But these one-on-ones are so imperative. You know, the things that we've been encouraging, the things that we've been doing, stay with God every day. You know, you don't have to struggle through by yourself. Yes, you go to God first. And we don't want to get people dependent upon us, but our job is to get people to go to God, to feed them what God gives us to feed them. And then if they go to God, if they practice and follow the encouragement, they'll see exactly what you see. They'll understand exactly what you understand. And they're coming up strong. Like all the guys in there have come up strong. The ones that have connected, the ones that are paying attention, the ones that are taking it to their heart. You know, see, when I stand before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm not given an account of my wife. I'm not given an account of my kids. I'm given an account of my life and my walk and what did I do. Yeah, I'm saved. I'm born again. You know, and then we're going to have those works which are going to be tested by fire. And whatever remains, you get reward. If it's all burnt up, you get no reward, right? But you're saved as of by the fire. That's what it says, right? This is what the scriptures show us, what Paul was talking about in Corinthians. So, like, you know, there's a bigger purpose. Like, there's reward now, and there's reward to come in the future. You know, and there's, and this walk should be easy. Yes, we have challenges at times, but when we know who we are, those challenges will melt in front of you. They will melt in front of you. You'll keep going. I've been here, what, 2.5 years since coming back from India. I haven't gone anywhere. How I've stayed hot with God is unbelievable. But it's God that's keeping me there because I'm going to Him. And then, thankfully, there's wonderful people that have, God's touched their hearts and worked in their life. They're connecting. And in the one-on-ones, I get great encouragement as well, by the way. It's not just me giving encouragement. I get encouraged. You know, and then I see that God's given me His wisdom. And I'm like, wow, God, this is just phenomenal. So, guys, stay practicing on the fundamentals. You know, like the confession, speaking by the Spirit, honoring God with your substance. Stay faithful, stay consistent. Faith is persistent. Don't get tricked out. You know, because it's so easy to get tricked out when we look at the bank account, when we look at the doctor's report, when we hear what other people are saying about our situation. The only one we want to hear saying about our situation is what God is saying. And that comes through the scriptures if we're reading them, but it also comes through the men and women of God that are speaking by the Spirit of God. And you do what God puts in your heart, and all of us are free to move with God. You are free to connect where you want to connect. You know, there's no limitations on anyone. And but God will show you where to connect. He'll show you where to honor God. He'll show you, you know, when to speak, when not to speak. Let God lead you. This life is to be led by God. Not led by knowledge or intellect, but led by the Spirit of God, that spiritual wisdom and the revelation and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You know, it says God may give unto you the spiritual wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Jesus Christ. That depends upon your heart towards God and allowing Him to work. Not trying to please people. And if you please people, you should not be the servant of Christ. Paul said that in Galatians. So when it comes up to people, like, you know, people think, you know, because we say you speak by the Spirit, we neglect the scriptures. We don't, right? That's what they think. Let them think it. If they're humble and if they walk with God, they know in their heart we don't. So I'm not there to argue with them. Jesus didn't argue with the Pharisees. He just told them what He needed to tell them, right? He spoke by God. He was led by God. He only done the Father's will. So these things are just fundamental. Keep the fundamental strong. You know, stay connected to God. Stay connected where God wants you to connect. Speak in tongues. Speak by the Spirit. Make yourself available for what's available. Like, I know Ethel, I think she does fellowship every day. Is that right? Every day? They do fellowship every day. That's desire. That's hunger. That's the love for God. That's commitment. You know what I mean? And so, like, we do what? Fellowship here once a week. We do it here once a week, and we do a Monday fellowship every fortnight, which is great for the people here. And so, you know, I want to do it every day. It says in Acts 2, they continue daily. They continue steadfastly. daily in the Apostles' Doctrine. This is how you become strong. This is how, you know, you become wise, because then you're being fed, and then God's energizing you, God's working you, and God, you know, God is going to supply all our needs. We don't have to look at the world's economy, what's going on. If you look at that, you're going to become very discouraged. When we look at the things of the world, then we start confessing the things of the world. When we look at our emotions and we dwell on them, we start confessing them. We go from worry to fear to doubt to the point we're having a breakdown. God doesn't want you to live like that. We were never designed to live a beat-up life. We were never designed to live nervous lives or anxious lives, you know. And that's why we need to stay with God every single day. Like I stay with my wife every single day. I'm not married to her once a week. We're married for life, right? And so that's what we do. We stay faithful with God. And then God will help you through the... There's times when you're feeling a little bit down. We all get that at times. But don't focus on that. Refuse to focus on that negative. Refuse to focus on other people's words. Refuse it. Just refuse it. God will reward you, reward you openly. He'll bless you, you know, exceedingly abundantly. And be the change you want to see. Instead of waiting for other people to change, to come on, to agree with you, you be the example. You be the change in the situation. You show people how to love and how to be a blessing. You know, sometimes, like, when we've had an argument, we don't really argue, but, like, a disagreement. You know, I can think, well, I'm not going to bless her. No, I'm not going to give her a hug or a kiss. Or, no, I'll ignore her today. I'll just say, all right, how you doing? Where's the love of God in that? You know, that's an old nature habit. But as we begin to walk with God, we have compassion. Oh, that's my wife, you know, okay. Even if it wasn't my wife, you know, we're to be encouragers. Sometimes we don't need to say nothing, but we're not to be respond with a negative heart or mind, because what you sow, you reap. So now, if I want to change everything, anything in my life, I take it to God. I say, God, you give me the words what to say. You encourage me, Father, what to say and what to do. And, you lead me and guide me. You inspire me. You encourage me. And God, this time it seems a bit quiet at the moment, so give me your work to do. Keep me encouraged every day. And just remember, one more thing I'll finish off with is that live in a 24-hour period. You can't live your past. You can if you play it in your mind. If you play that old record, you'll get discouraged. So forget the past. Focus ahead. You can't live the future. But you can confess the things and the desires that God's put in your heart about your future. And if you're thinking, well, where am I going to get this from? How am I going to travel? How am I going to minister? How am I going to see all these things? I'm only one person. God starts with the ones, the ready ones, the laborers. It's really simple. Like, God has made this so simple as ABC. As easy as Do, Re, Mi. Who sung that? Michael Jackson, wasn't it? So it's very simple. Right, so God has given you the desire. God has given you the vision. And usually what you desire don't really kind of pan out how you think it's going to be, because God's plan is so much bigger. So just stay encouraged. Don't look at the circumstances. You look at them. You'll try and do things in your own effort. Then you fail. And then you get discouraged. Then you think, well, this don't work. And it's not God's fault, you know, because we just need to keep with God. We need to be persistent in faith, just like Kim was with this holiday. You know, this 1 week, I think I might put a Cheryl up and call it 1 week. That 1 week, that sounds like a good title. But anyway, that's what I wanted to share.